Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. Like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Moot, Glim, you're there now too. Sully.
hey, Terry, what's up?
It was a bit of an explosion.
Was it jam?
No.
Also, I don't think explosions are referred to as a bit of an explosion, usually.
Hey, I found something over here.
I mean, this ash is really pink. It's pretty strange.
And it goes into trying to find a source and trying to access it and use it in his spells. And it gets to the last page, which is basically just like this, like hard sketched image. It's hard to describe even as you look at it, but it's like nothing you've ever seen before.
Does this look familiar to you at all, Terry?
Oh, that looks kind of scary, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's why I was thinking maybe it's something that you've seen before.
Anyways, we can probably go check that list. We don't need to check that list. I seem like I would know who's on that list.
Do you know where they live or hang out?
What's their name?
Yeah.
Name's Boots.
Boots. Oh.
Small round object flies out of the window towards you.
Oh, I want to catch it.
Welcome to Dungeons and Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him, also with me today is Tom Laird.
Yeah, that's me, he, him, and I'm playing Moot, who also goes by he, him, a wild magic half-orc sorcerer.
And Amy Moore.
Yeah, she, her, and I am playing Sullivan Slight, a Lightfoot halfling rogue, he, him.
And Carla Maxted.
She, her, playing Glim, a dragonborn paladin, also she, her.
Happy to be here with everybody tonight. Having such a good time. We laughed so hard in the last downtime that I would like to just say downtimes are fun.
Downtimes are fun.
It's an extension of the fun. And patrons $5 plus get access to them. And they come out every Saturday after we release an episode. And this last one, let me just put out there, shmegma.
Oh my God.
People have heard that word. They know what it is. Some people know.
Some people
None
know.
None of us did.
If you don't know what the downtimes are,
don't Google it.
They happen immediately after we record an episode. We do like a 2 to 5 to 10 minute debrief about the things that happened in it and maybe test drives.
Mm-hmm. And maybe
some random
teen
shit
boy
too.
Gross words.
Yep.
All of that and more. Over at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where when you are a patron, you also get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Adam from Snyder's Return.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Really enjoy Snyder's Return. Was a guest over there. You should go check him out. He interviews tabletop RPG creators and streamers and podcasters and all sorts of people in the industry. It's very cool. You should go check him out. Thank you. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Come join us. We'd love it.
We would love it.
No, fuck it. Let's play.
I would like to, I want to catch it and throw it back.
All right, monk. Let's see if you can do that.
Stop stealing Elia's thing she hasn't got to do in my game yet.
I know. Okay. I just really
I did make a note, Carla, that there will be
one
projectiles
day.
Fired at you in the next
I
session.
I mean, I'm good with dex, so I figure catching something out of midair, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Can I try?
Great. Do it.
Yeah, I want to do it.
Catch it.
I'm going to catch it.
Catch it.
Oh, fuck me. I'm going to use... hold on. There. Fuck. Jesus.
Mm-mm. It's going great.
Yeah.
These are all good signs.
That's what Amy sounds like when she rolls well.
Yeah. Everything is fine. I have halfling luck or something. That's the thing.
Did you roll a one?
No.
That's when it counts.
That's only when it counts?
Yeah.
Oh.
What'd you roll?
A two.
So a total of seven?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So that's an auto fail on your dexterity saving throw.
Hand.
Everybody else, roll a dexterity saving throw as this explosion goes off.
Please be confetti.
Front.
Please be confetti.
I also rolled a two, which gives me a two.
Oh.
I'm not
all
very
right.
dexterous. I'm quite large.
Hey, guys.
Huh?
Without a word of a fucking lie, I also rolled a two.
What's happening?
How's Terry?
Oh, Terry. Let's see what Terry rolled.
I almost called him Jerry.
Terry rolled an 18.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's okay.
He's in full plate.
He's in full plate, so that's disadvantage. Still a 12.
Mm.
So still way better than all of
hey,
you.
Hey, listen.
Are six combined?
Yeah.
Hey, I had a seven technically, because I had a
it's
two
true.
With five.
Did you though?
So how I see this is... You see movement up in the upper balcony. Curtains moving. Projectile. Fizzy flames coming out of it. Sully steps forward.
I got this, guys.
Reaches his hand high in the sky towards this as it soars past him, behind him, and explodes, projecting him forward and everybody else blowing you back. You're all going to be prone. Everybody's going to take 4 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
As well as...
Oh.
So this wasn't glitter.
I'll describe it to you. As well as 3 piercing damage. As this projectile explodes with a giant plume of... rainbow confetti, but mixed within this confetti is tiny shards of glass.
What kind of fucking psycho lives here? What the fuck is wrong with you, man? I'm gonna punch this guy in the face.
When you look up as the kind of this dust settles and you're, you know, assessing each of your wounds and look up, he's disappeared from the upstairs window.
Oh, Sully's pulling glass out of his face, just pissed.
It's so much worse with the... Why would you make it so beautiful?
Glitter was bad enough.
It's so...
Isn't he on probation? Is this not some sort of violation of probation?
This is a definite violation
he's
of
gonna
probation.
He's going to need a citation.
He's... Oh, good thing I brought my book. Of citations. This is definitely a 4-6-3.
Make a notation in your citation.
This guy's about to find his expiration date.
Maybe we'll go for some libations?
Oh, after we solve this mystery.
Yeah, that'll make everything feel better. What was I doing?
Well, I don't know.
Citation, right. Yeah, okay, I'm going to write him a ticket and then we're going to go in and get him. Well, you said write a citation.
Just go in and get him and then you can write him the ticket.
I want to sneak around back because that seems like something sneaky that rogue would do. Mm-hmm.
All right,
guys, I'm gonna go around the back. I'm gonna make sure there's an exit through any sort of back door situation.
Oh yeah, good idea. Okay, we'll go up to the front door. Watch out. I mean, he really really likes explosions. Okay?
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah
it's you've made that abundantly clear.
Sully goes around. Roll investigation as you are, because I presume you're looking for things that might make explosions in your face.
17.
17? Okay, yeah. Great. Moot, Glim, and Terry. Well, Terry's going up to the front door. Moot and Glim, where are you going?
I think that I will also head towards the front. Okay. I mean, you said it's a rundown shack. I'm assuming mm-hmm. There isn't like wings that we need to explore various grounds. But I am also going to investigate as I approach because the bombs.
The bombs.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Oh, everybody this place is the bomb, you guys.
Yeah, everybody who wants to may roll investigation.
18.
Well, that's better. 19 for me.
Oh, yeah. Investigating. So good. So Sully disappears kind of around the side and you no longer see him. Not that he's disappeared, but just that he's gone out of sight. Object permanence. Don't just want to make sure there's no portals beside.
Yeah, he is still there. Nobody been.
Sully, where did he go?
Sully has been raptured.
Yeah. I mean, it's over, guys. It's over.
We call these characters the baby, so I just want to make sure. Moot and Glim, you're following behind Terry. Terry is confidently stepping up the stairs, and both of you see a thin wire that he's about to step on as he steps his foot towards the top.
Whoa,
step.
Terry!
Terry!
Yeah, what's up?
Like a tripwire?
Oh, he kind of takes a step back and stumbles down the couple steps. I totally saw it. It was just gonna make sure that everybody else saw it. I was seeing whose side you're on. I know you're on our side. It's okay. I didn't see it. I was just trying to be cool. Just looking at the notes that I wrote down earlier.
Okay, but like, you know, this guy loves his explosions, so we got to be a little more.
What was the explosion at the front door?
It sounds like this guy does.
I think he'll put an explosion anywhere.
All right. Okay.
I wouldn't use the toilet here either, is all I'm saying.
I should have gone at Murlocs before we left then, is what you're saying.
Should have gone at Murlocs. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
This is Russ's game. He's not going to let you go.
These are life decisions that we all make. Okay. The three of you go just take a look at where the tripwire is attached to, and we cut to the back where we see Sully. Coming around the side, you haven't found anything moving around the side of the building. You come to the back. And it's just a door with a single glass panel in it, curtains drawn at the back door, three steps up. You don't see anything walking up to the steps. There's no tripwires. There's no pressure plates, no nothing like that.
I'm going to press my back to the door. Like, not to the door, but sorry. I'm going to press my back to the back of the house.
Okay.
So that I am just outside of view. If someone were to look out the door, they wouldn't see me.
Okay.
And I'm not on the stairs. I'm like down next to the house so that I can get the jump on him if he decides to leave.
All right.
That's what I want to do. And can I like ready an action for when he comes out? Is that a thing? Popcorn! I don't know if that's how that works, but I yelled it, so it's what I want to do.
I mean, sure, why not?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
okay.
I've got time to ready in action. I'm over here just like... Doo-doo.
Okay, so you are putting your back to the wall,
yep.
Waiting for him to make a move.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
We cut back to the front.
I don't get to ready in action.
You can absolutely ready in action. Okay. What do you want your action to be?
I'm going to hit him with my fright... I'm going to slash at him with my frightful sword of reflection.
Cut that motherfucker as he comes out.
Cut
all
a
right.
Bitch.
Yep. Got
yeah,
it.
Okay.
All
that's
right.
What I want to do.
Cut back to the front. You've disengaged what looks to be like a pipe bomb that is set up at the side of this staircase that looked like it would have been triggered by this. So you've gently cut the wire and are able to proceed to the door. And Terry goes up and knocks on the door and stands and waits.
Terry, I think just maybe he's not going to answer the door.
Oh.
You know what, with throwing the confetti bomb
at us. Right. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. We'll go. Should we kick in the door, or should we...
Well, maybe we, take a close hard look at that door and see if we see any more wires kicking around.
Let's explore the space of the door.
Yeah, Terry moves his face into the door and he's looking at the door.
Yeah,
it's looking like a door. Does everybody else roll?
Nothing like investigating with your face.
19 again.
You don't see anything visible from the outside.
I'm going to open the door.
Whoa. I was looking at that part. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. The door swings open and in. Loud creak echoes down the hallway before you. And you see the insides very much like the outsides, all tossed around, furniture overturned. Looks like there have been explosions that have been set off in various parts of this house. There is a welcome mat that looks to be in not pristine condition. Like, it looks used, but it doesn't look like the rest of the house. It's very embellished writing on it. Welcome, with a wand and a sparkler down in one of the corners.
I mean, hey, Glim, does this welcome mat and look a little suspicious to you?
Yeah.
Seems out of place.
Really doesn't fit the decor. Kind of reminds me of the sign, I think. Seems more like Murloc's kind of brand. I mean, sure, I don't know him or Boots, but is this, Terry, you'll know with the sign better at Murloc's. Is this the same?
It kind of looks familiar now that you say it. Yeah, with the little kind of thing coming out of the end.
Yeah,
of the,
that's the part. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, maybe he stole it. If he was the one writing the letters and had such a shot against him, maybe he stole his mat and now we got him.
I mean, maybe that's the extent of his crimes, but...
Could be.
Maybe he just has great taste in doormats. I think we should just...
Yeah.
Boots?
Boots?
Boots, we're coming in.
You hear quick footsteps upstairs.
My name's Glim. Here to save the world. Not here exactly to save the world, just like on the planet to save the world. But you know what I mean. Like, you know about destiny. Anyway, Boots, do you want to come? We just want to talk to you about something.
Have you entered or are you still doing this from the doorway?
I think I enter, but I step over the mat because it seems out of place. So I'm going to not touch it.
Okay. Yeah. You step over the mat. Moot, are you following or are you staying outside for now?
I'll follow.
Okay. Glim and Moot step in. Terry's following behind. He tells Dog to wait. Marky Bark. I can't remember for the life of me what we named that dog. He tells him to wait outside because I forgot that dog turns into a giant monster. So maybe we'll just leave him outside for now.
Maybe we bring him inside.
Maybe. You two step in, and as you step in, you step over the mat. You hear more scuffling upstairs. No response. But also you look into the room immediately to the left, and there's a fireplace. And you hear like this metallic like bounce, like coming down the fireplace, until you see this what looks like a wooden oblonged shape roll out of the fireplace and towards you. Doesn't have any like sparklers or anything like that. Just looks like a carved or whittled wooden object now rolling towards you.
I'm gonna cast my crab claw mage hand and have it like pick the object up and toss it back towards the fireplace, all in one motion.
Your crab claw appears, quickly picks it up and throws it, and you roll on your wild magic surge table.
It was a 17.
And throw it back in, and you hear it land, and it splinters and shoots out into the fireplace and some out into the room. So yes, there would be a degree of difficulty towards you. So let's roll a dexterity saving throw for Moot and Glim.
18.
14.
Both of you managed to kind of skirt to the side, and these wooden splinters shoot out into the walls that you see. And then you hear a voice call down, like echo down. You hear it in the house, but it echoes down through the fireplace. Did that one get ya?
No, Boots. Still here.
Ah, okay. Next one will get ya.
I mean, we just want to talk.
You could just come down. Maybe this is all nothing.
Also, cool doormat. Where'd you get the doormat?
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
We cut out to Sully. You hear all of this.
I've been playing the animal game by myself where you go through the alphabet and you try to think of an animal for every letter.
Sure.
Right now I'm at J. Giraffe.
The explosion goes off.
Oh my God. I don't rush up the stairs. I slowly sneak up the stairs, checking for traps and entering through the back door.
You open the back door, and Moot and Glim, you are calling out, maybe this isn't a thing, and then you hear the door open at the back, and you see Sully poke his head through.
Sully takes his finger and puts it in front of his lips and makes the shh.
So, Boots, we know you're upstairs, and I point at Sully like...
That's what you would like to think?
Well, we could hear you up there with your tiny little footsteps, and plus you threw something down the fire... place chimney, so...
Gravity works differently in these parts.
Okay, now is that like a regional thing or specific to this location?
You hear audibly hear pages flipping in a book.
As Moot's got him talking, I'm inching my way towards the dumbwaiter.
Sure, yeah.
That is in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Dumbwaiters in a rickety building are always a great choice.
I love it. Sully certainly thinks so. He's the only one who could get in there.
Yep. Well, it looks... And then there's a big pause. Just stops mid-sentence.
Sorry, what does it look like?
So it's like an upside-down gravity house that you live in?
Watch out for this one!
And then you hear a huge stomp as a chandelier falls through a hole... in the ceiling. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Not the chandelier here. The chandelier.
18 again. This shack is very fancy. Right? It has a dumbwaiter. It has a chandelier.
It's got it going on. 16 for me, Russ.
Okay. Both of you dodge out of the way. And as the chandelier hits, there's this like plume of smoke. And it changes color as it's... as it begins to like roil up and out of this chandelier, where clearly there was a device hidden within, and it obscures sight within this room and the adjacent rooms, making it hard to see. Sully, you climb into the dumbwaiter.
Yeah, I do.
As the chandelier falls, you close the door. Smoke starts like coming into it. There is a rope that you could begin to pull on.
Yep. Okay. I want to begin pulling on that.
Okay.
I'm pulling
on it.
But I'm trying to go, like, not in jerky motions. I'm trying to go, like...
Smooth. Okay. Smooth. Roll me a
d20. Wait. But you didn't say what for.
I just said roll me a d20.
Maybe low's good.
Maybe low's good. Two? God, the twos. I don't know.
Okay.
You're in jail, Dice.
Smooth as butter. It's going. You get what you, based on spatial reasoning, which Sully's very good at, obviously.
Oh, no. I'm going to get out of the wrong floor, you guys.
you get almost up to what you believe is to be the second floor, and you're kind of holding it there with one hand, and you hear the rope begin to splinter and fray and snap.
Oh, shit.
Who's in there?
And you fall back down to the ground.
No one!
You're going to take 3 bludgeoning damage as the dumbwaiter collapses around you.
God damn it.
Moot and Glim, you hear like this loud...
No one!
And then... and debris spitting back out into the main floor where you are.
I exit it and they see me like stagger out of it. Totally covered in dust and cobwebs. That wasn't the move.
Oh, I thought maybe you got him.
Did you not get him?
Yeah, I didn't get him.
Oh. Hey, Boots.
Aren't you guys gone yet?
No, just come downstairs. We just want to talk to you.
Okay.
I can try and persuade him.
Please do.
Oh, that was a really bad roll. I have such a good plus. Doesn't matter, though. That's a 7. Come on, please, Boots. Come on, please.
What's your favorite explosion?
Flavor.
Good answer. I was going to say, like, Bahamut's love in my heart.
Is that a big one?
Oh, it's the biggest.
Okay. Like, what do you add into it?
Like a lot of love and loyalty and strength and justice. And
Moot, you hear, as Glim is talking, you hear, both of you hear. There's no reason that both of you wouldn't hear, but footsteps slowly trying to be, you can tell he's trying to be quiet, moving towards this hole in the floor, or floor for him, ceiling for you, where the chandelier fell through. And as Glim is kind of describing how big Bahamut's love is, you see just the silhouette through the haze and fog and smoke that has been created of like a figure. And he's got one of those, he's got one of the first of bombs that you saw with the whiz popper on it. And it looks like he's going to throw it down.
So I've got a visual on him.
You've got a visual on the top of his head and his hand holding a device.
Okay. I'm going to cast Mind Spike on him.
Oof. All right.
We're getting serious now, y'all.
That's right. Remind me what Mind Spike does and what I have to do to not be affected by it.
I can reach into the mind of one creature I can see within range. The target must make a wisdom saving throw or take some damage on a failed save or half as much on a successful one. On a failed save, you always know the target's location until the spell ends, but only while the two of you are on the same plane of existence. While you have this knowledge, the target can't become hidden from you, and if it's invisible, it gains no benefit from that condition against you.
Okay.
So you must make a wisdom saving throw.
6 wins, right?
6 is not even halfway there.
Whew, I was so close. So close, everybody. It does not happen for him to avoid. That was a weird way to say that. It works for you.
Perfect. All right. So you're going to take 16 psychic damage.
Ooh, mine spike indeed. Okay.
Moot's not fucking around anymore.
No.
Well, that glitter bomb really pissed me off.
Yeah, it was a real asshole kind of weapon.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, Glim, you're describing the love of Bahamut, and Moot, you see Boots, and you cast Mind Spike. And as you, did you roll Wild Magic?
I did not. Well, that was a crit fail.
You cast Mind Spike, and you, Glim and Moot and Sully, everybody, Sully, you're picking yourself up, trying to get out of this dumb waiter.
Yeah, it's rough for me.
Terry's, what's Terry doing? He's kind of standing outside, just kind of blowing the smoke, being like, you guys good in there? You guys got him out yet?
He's still outside?
And Moot, you cast Mind Spike, and you see and know the position of Boots. Like, you can see him roiling on the ground, screaming at this damage that he's taking, this pain that he's in. And then you see his body and his face and all this smoke twist into that image that you saw in the journal. And it becomes clearer to you. Not clearer in that you know what it is, but clearer and more visual. And it's like you are transported somewhere else. Everywhere gets dark and these colors become more vivid as this shape begins to form around you, and you hear this voice, but it's not in a language that you can comprehend. Make a wisdom saving throw.
See, 13.
You see this image and hear this voice for what seems like a second, and you're violently brought back to the room with Glim, Sully, and Terry standing in front of you with a panicked look on their face, like trying to shake you back to reality.
Moot, oh, are you okay?
Somebody slap him.
Did you guys see that? What happened with the face?
I mean, we saw you do some magic to Boots, and it's pretty rad, but
I thought it broke you again.
Yeah, you just Where you been, buddy?
So I've been here.
I know, I mean, like, physically you were here, but you were like, you know...
Oh, you were definitely somewhere else.
Terry was gonna slap you.
I was getting ready. I took off my gauntlet, though.
Yeah, I told him he didn't have to, but he's a gentleman.
I mean, you've been out for...
Well, it's very kind of you that you were going to. I mean,
we got boots. Whatever you did with his mind, he says it hurts really bad. Maybe we, you know... good job. But we got him. But yeah, you've been out for like the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, right?
Oh, geez. Yeah. Well, it was the weirdest thing. Remember that picture in the journal that I showed you, Terry?
Oh, yeah. It's haunting my dreams.
Well, we haven't been asleep since I showed you.
Well, it's just, it's going to haunt my dreams. I just know it.
Oh, okay. All right. It. So just it's more of like... a preemptive. You've seen it in your dreams. Got it. Yeah, it was weird because I cast the thing, the spell at Boots there, and then it was like Boots transformed into that thing with the face from the picture. I don't know. It was really weird.
Are you okay?
I feel fine.
Okay.
So are you saying Boots is actually a scary monster?
I don't know. Maybe.
Like what kind of... What kind of monster?
I'm not a scary monster. I know my rights. He came into my mind.
It's enough, Boots.
Should you shackle him or something?
He's not moving very fast.
You're going to have to move fast to throw a bomb. Just saying.
Terry walks over and shackles Boots.
So, Boots, did you mess up Murloc's alchemy shop or...
Yeah, I messed that old man's shop up.
Why'd you do that?
Well, I wanted his recipes. For all his big explosions. You know how many noises and booms and bangs and whiz pops I hear coming from there?
So you murdered him.
Yeah, did you mean to kill him?
Murdered him? No! I used one of his recipes.
And he's not there anymore. And we found a crispy fried robe.
Crispy fried robe?
And
wow, that's pretty fun.
Glitter.
Oh. Well, did you hang on to the pink glitter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm reticent to tell you because you like to make bombs and I don't want you to throw a match at me or something, but...
Why would... I'm trying to help you here.
Are you?
I'm a friend.
What a fun turnaround from earlier.
I'm a friend of the justice system. Right, tell him, Terry.
No.
Most people on the watch list aren't...
Yeah, more of a customer, maybe, of the justice system than a friend. Mm-hmm.
Antagonist to said justice system?
Someone who uses the justice system frequently is, if that's not a friend, what else could you describe it as?
I don't know if they give out frequent flyer miles for the justice system.
Do they have a punch card?
Yeah, is it like every seventh visit to the justice system is free? What's happening here?
Terry, do we have a free visit to the justice system?
No, you get fined every time.
Okay, would somebody pass me my umbrella, please?
Absolutely not.
But maybe, maybe it's going to rain.
Now, well, I think you'll be, no one's going to hand you anything. So why did you kill Murloc?
I didn't kill Murloc. What? I used one of his recipes. He said it was safe.
Well, what was the intended effect? What did you want to do with that recipe?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wanted to kill him.
Okay, so.
But I didn't.
But okay.
He said it makes a person into another substance. And I wanted to test it out.
Another substance?
And I thought, well, he would be able to just flip poop, you know, just make himself come back.
Flip poop?
I think more of a glip glop.
Hmm. Was there glip glop? I thought you said it was pink dust.
Yeah, there was pink dust. Is that, are you saying the pink dust is...
That could be Murloc.
What do you mean, could be?
Well, he didn't give me the whole recipe.
Do you have the partial recipe? Did you get a book? We saw the pitter-patter of little feet all over the bookshelf.
Yeah, I did take a book. It was The Biggest, Bangiest Explosions Under the Sun by Senor Big Bang.
Interesting you left the 101 Explosions You Need to See Before You Die book. That was right next to
it. I didn't see that one. Did you bring it with you?
No, it's back at Murloc's shop.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, it's in custody.
Yes, which is an active crime scene.
It's evidence in the murder scene.
Also, you're not going to go around free. You just exploded a bunch of things and potentially even a guy, so...
Okay.
So, can you turn him back if this pink powder is really him?
I'm not a wizard like Murloc. If that's if that pink powder you're carrying around is our good friend Murloc, I mean, that's probably naked pink powder you're carrying around. Just putting that out there. If you left the charred up robe on the ground, no.
So wait, your solution was to put the pink powder in the charred up robe and then bring that?
Well, if you didn't want naked pink powder.
Hey, what? There's nothing wrong about being naked. What?
Yeah,
that's right.
No, what's wrong? Fine.
Are you a never nude? You know what? Even if you are, it's none of my business. I'm just saying.
There are dozens of them.
Where it's an affliction, okay?
Of course. I'm not. Anyway.
So look, okay.
Naked
you got
or not,
me. You
how
got
do we
me.
Get him back?
He probably has a book.
Oh my God. Cold in here. There must be some middle in the atmosphere.
I mean, delightful.
That's good.
I love it.
No. Nobody ever jumps in with me, so why would we jump in with you?
Oh, no. Now Amy knows how it feels.
Mine was better.
Because yours was better.
Well, I didn't say that.
Oh, ouch.
This is, you have no proof.
I would say Amy's was more like if I had jumped in the third word, sure. I would have known where it was going. Sometimes with Russ.
Right.
I'm not quite sure where it's going. Yeah,
you know what? That's what I like. The element of surprise.
The genre might change partway through.
Key
you just
change
don't know.
Unexpectedly.
It's always new and exciting.
It's jazz, baby.
It's all about the notes you don't play.
That's what you're doing in here.
Yeah. Oh, always.
We're just jazzing here in the middle.
Yeah. Welcome to the middle, everybody. We have a full story for you over on our Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And that story explains how...
Slow Russ talks.
Flamikins... broke like Francis he's out of stuck. The abyss.
Yeah, so if you're out there listening to our, you know, regular shenanigans and you're wondering...
How'd that guy get back there?
And where the fuck do Flamikins come from? Why is Francis here and you're a bit confused? Head on over to Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast.
It's a two-part exclusive adventure just for our patrons.
And both parts are out now.
Yeah.
That's right. You can hear them. Well... Now that I say this out loud, it's probably not till Friday that you can hear them. But if you sign up now, you'll have time to listen to the first
you'll be
episode.
Ready for when it comes
there's
on
some
Friday.
Mental preparation
you'll
that
be the
goes
first
along
one.
With that.
Yeah, I know. I really set us up that they were both out right now. And then
that is the one talking point
it
you
was,
gave
us. Yeah.
Then my brain was like, no, you dumb dumb. That's not out till Friday when you actually finish it. Oh.
That's okay. We kind of scrambled Russ's brain when we played that game because... Tom, Carla, and I were the DMs, so it was 3-1, and Russ had to talk to himself a lot.
A lot.
A lot.
It was lovely.
It was 3-2, okay?
Right.
Sorry. And there's a demon pineapple, so it's all coming together.
That's right. 3 DMs, Russ playing 2 characters, and a demon pineapple.
Yep.
Where do they stick that pineapple?
We'll find out if you go to Patreon and listen to part one.
I think Grancis might, after that episode, have a tattoo somewhere on his body that just says, be like the pineapple.
Like a tramp stamp? Or?
Yeah, probably, like be sweet on the inside and wear a crown. Like he's got that on his body somewhere.
That and live, laugh, love.
Yes. Yeah, oh, definitely. Right.
Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We'd love to have you over there. And now...
Spirit fingers.
I mean, you could check the book that I said earlier.
The
biggest, bangiest
booms.
Okay, and that's just upstairs?
By Senor Big Bang, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's upstairs. Did you? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You all go upstairs and grab it, and I'll wait down here for you.
No, I think maybe just like 1 or 2 of us should go upstairs, and everybody else stay down here with you.
And definitely keep you away from the umbrella, because that's so suspicious.
Yeah. I think that I'm gonna go upstairs.
And like investigate the stairs while we go there.
Yeah.
Look, I got tapped into the barometric pressure in this area, and I know when it's gonna rain.
the fuck does that mean?
Two of you go upstairs. Who goes upstairs?
I want to because I feel like I should have been up there anyway with the whole dumbwaiter disaster.
Okay. I'll go upstairs as well.
I got something to prove, apparently.
Moot and Sully, you go upstairs. Roll investigation as you
I'm
go.
I'm
going
to roll a different.
Oh, no. You've already been upstairs. That doesn't make sense.
I haven't been upstairs.
Well, somebody went upstairs to get him, somebody would have gone upstairs.
That's true, yeah.
You know, events while Moot was out occurred. You go back upstairs. Yeah, there is a book kind of tossed into the corner there, which you grab, and it is the biggest, bangiest Big Bangs of Senior Big Bang. That book. and you grab it, and you come back downstairs, and he's... Terry and Glim are cornering him to keep him away from the umbrella.
I was picturing Glim just sitting on him.
Perfect. Love it. Glim is sitting on him, and Terry's holding the umbrella, kind of just looking at it. Says, what do you do to the umbrella? Like, does it explode?
Terry, I feel like it's kind of a... It's just, it's dangerous. We know it's dangerous. I don't know why you have to fool around with it.
No, you're probably right. I'm just going to... Well, we should probably... leave it here? Take it into custody?
I mean, we should... Yeah, I think maybe bring it with us very carefully.
Yeah, that's...
I don't think we should leave it in case anyone else comes here to this.
Yeah, we should take it with us. Yeah. Because it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we find upstairs? Right. I want to look around his place.
Oh, sure.
He messed up the shop. I'm not going to totally, turn over his place, but, you know.
Yeah,
look around.
While you're upstairs, you do see,
I got sticky fingers.
Crumpled up a notepad, big, pieces of paper and notepad.
Same ones that I saw before.
Thick black, big pencil that looked like, and there's some with writing on them that say, you're the worst, Murlock. You think these are ones that were
they didn't make the cut?
Didn't make the cut.
First drafts.
You know, I'm rubber, you're glue.
He's been going to bard school and he hasn't quite got the vicious mockery down yet.
Yeah, you see a lot of those. Again, confirming your suspicions. You do see more of the devices that have been flying at you and exploding. Some of the the oblong wooden ones and the confetti bombs, as well as some other of the more pipe bomb ones that were disabled.
I may like a few confetti bombs.
All right, you want to take some confetti bombs?
I do. Maybe some pipe bombs, too.
Okay, how many do you take?
I'll take two of each.
Okay, two.
Do they look stable?
The confetti bombs look pretty stable. The pipe bombs look pretty ramshackle.
I'm going to just take the confetti bombs because I don't want to lose, my ass cheek holding it in my satchel.
Okay.
A terrible way to lose your ass cheek.
Do you do that in secret or do you just take them?
I just take them.
Okay, Moot, you see Sully take two confetti bombs. And that's all you really find upstairs, a small cot. And that's about it, though. You head back downstairs, Glim sitting on, and they're sorting, Glim sitting on Boots, and they're sorting everything out. Nothing else that you really find in this place, at least that stands out. He's still really drawn to the umbrella. He's like, well, you guys look over the book, I guess, and see if there's something in there, and I want to take him back. Seems like he'd probably try and use this umbrella to do something, so I'll probably go, book him.
Or maybe take the umbrella in for evidence.
Yeah.
And here's some notes, and I had gathered up some of the notes to show as evidence that, but he could change his story at any time. You can say I'm guilty and then be like, oh, never mind, he was under duress. So I brought the the balled up notes with me and being like, check the handwriting. I'm 100,000% sure it's him.
Terry grabs the notes and pulls out one of the other notes that he took from the crime scene and compares them and says, well, the handwriting does appear to match up.
Yeah, it does.
You know, cut ahead, going back to the crime scene, and you're flipping through the biggest, bangiest book, and you do come across one that claims to turn anybody or anything into a powder. Doesn't specify a color, but it does specify a powder. It says that to reverse it, it gives you a recipe. And you go downstairs and you manage to find all of the ingredients. In order to mix it, though, someone's going to need to roll Arcana in order to properly mix the remedy to this explosion.
I only have plus one.
This is Moot's time to shine, I think.
Good. Okay. I have no plus.
Yeah, it's not that great. And plus, I've been rolling twos all night. Don't let me do this.
With my plus three, it's a 21.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Yep, Moot, you go down to the lab and clear yourself a space and set up. You've managed to find enough stuff that isn't broken. And
would you say I was working in the lab late one night?
It is getting late.
Okay.
And as you're doing that, everybody else upstairs, or did you go down with Moot? Where is everybody at?
Oh, I want to watch. I'm okay. Down with Moot.
Yeah, I am so
seeing
curious
Moot do
about
some
Moot.
Things okay. that aren't cool. writing in a notebook is just Sully's thrilled.
I'm not going to tell you what's in this recipe. Get Moot to describe what's going on here. You can even just, you know, talk it through however you want to do it, Tom.
The recipe's pretty easy to follow. There's a few steps that seem a pinch of this and then a dash of that and then these two at the same time. And it's, but I think I'm doing, how do you guys feel? I think it's going okay?
Ew, what's that brown stuff?
I'm not really sure. It says ground newt.
Oh, and that purple stuff?
It's Sunny D. No, wait, that's not the purple stuff. Lavender. Lavender.
Oh, that I like. That stuff I like. Yeah. You put that in my pillow. I'm out.
Anyway, I think we're almost done here. It's starting to, like, bubble quite a bit. Do you guys think that's normal?
I mean, maybe. You should probably have the safety glasses on. I know you were teasing me about asking you to wear them, but it's probably a good idea. It's like,
yeah,
bubbling.
No, I think that's a good call. I think I'm gonna put those right on. And
yeah, this is your world. I'm taking notes.
Is this my world?
Well,
I don't think I've really done much of this before.
I do believe this is magic.
The solution begins to, like, bubble over like a science fair thing with, like, foam, and there's even some sparks inexplicably that start coming up out of this solution.
Is that supposed to happen?
I don't know. The recipe's not super clear on what's happening while you... Oh, I'll just mix the last thing in and then we'll just see what happens.
Oh, yeah. If you guys ever bring me back from the dead, I just want you to see what happens.
You add the last ingredient, which is...
we'll say it's golem dust.
You add the golem dust, just a pinch, just on top. And... as soon as you do, it quickly, the bubbling and the sparks and the bit of smoke that's coming up stop, and it shoots back down into this beaker, and there's just this clear liquid, pink in color.
So here's my question. Do we pour this onto the pink glittery dust, or do we put the dust into it? Like, how does that part of it work?
Is it wet into dry or dry into wet?
What does it say in the ingredient? This is just like a recipe, right?
Do we make a little well in the center and then mix it from there?
This is a terrible...
The recipe is not super clear on how to execute it.
You know, and Sully just picks up the powder and pours it into the liquid. Yeah, that happened right there. Stir it. I don't know.
Yeah, the powder into the liquid.
Yeah.
Correct? That's what you said.
Okay. Yeah, I'll swirl it around in the old beaker there.
Powder goes into the... all of the powder or just like a little bit of the powder? What's going on?
I put all of it in.
Okay.
There was too much deliberating. Sully wanted action.
Sully grabs the bag off of Glim's hip and begins to pour this powder all over this solution. And it begins to bubble and boil. And you see... a figure begin to take place, but not as, not like cleanly, like, you know, somebody appearing like with magic, like, there's mounds of flesh and bone and gristle. And like, you see an eyeball at one point as all of this is trying to pull itself back together until this goes on for quite a while. There's this scream that comes through at one point. And
it's the three of us.
And then you look into each other and it's you three screaming as this figure is coming to back to life in front of your eyes. And there's this older man who's hunched over on the ground, naked as the day he was born. And he looks up and he's just kind of shielding himself like he was like almost frozen in time. And he looks up and he says, where did Boots go?
Jail.
Oh.
Well, that's where he's going to go.
Who are you?
The God's Chosen Three. No?
That's
No!
Join
fuck!
Us on Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast to find out who the God's Chosen Three is.
So sorry.
Destiny's Children, I think, is the name that you've been gifted. No, okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, that is what they've dubbed us on the Discord. So.
Oh, I've known that. That's fantastic.
Dents dubbed you that.
Oh.
Oh, that's
great. Well, I don't think they're ready for this jelly.
Exactly. We came here and saved you.
Whoa. Thank you.
Are you okay?
I think so.
Oh, here you go. And I take the robe and I...
Oh, yeah, of course. He's...
Not that nudity disgusts or makes me uncomfortable.
No,
I can join you if you would prefer.
It's a modesty thing. It's all right. I'll just cover back up here. Thank you. Thank you very much. It appears that Boots had his way and got a recipe book. Did we get that back?
Yeah, I have it right over here.
Great.
You need to really like make it a little more clear as to what's going to happen in the stages of the recipe.
If you make it too clear, then too many people know exactly what happens. And you want to leave some confusion in the spell. It looks like whoever put this spell together did a wonderful bang-up job.
Okay, yeah, but just for like examples like this, where someone is saving your life with your spellbook, maybe you want to make it clear for them so that they understand exactly what's happening.
I'll keep that in mind. Most people normally don't come down here. See, Boots was a random event, a random occurrence. He wanted to blow everything up. I use him in the
past. We learned that about him. Yes.
I've been using him in the past tense. You just said he went to jail, not that he himself has been blown up, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Great. Perfect. Yep. Nope. That's good. So I won't use him in the past tense anymore. Boot wants to blow things up. Of course, being the foremost alchemist in this area, I have all of the books to do so. And.
Speaking of blown up things. Your shop is not in great condition.
I see, just based on my lab here, I can only assume that the explosion that he used that perhaps rendered me catatonic. What state was I in?
Powder.
Powder?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
How did it feel? Just question.
To be powder? It's kind of like a blank... he kind of goes silent. It's gristly.
Gristly.
Hmm.
Kind of coarse.
Well, fair enough. You were like a bunch of salt.
Yep. Great.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing so. If there's anything I can do for you.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, always happy to learn a little bit of magic.
He just stares at you for a moment. Sure. Why not? Yeah. I mean, you saved my life. I could teach you a little bit of magic. Absolutely. Why not? Why don't you come back tomorrow? I'll have this place all ship shape, and we'll take a peruse through some books.
That sounds like a plan. Also, one last question,
please.
What's with the scary face dude in your notebook?
Beg your pardon, the scary face dude in my notebook.
Yeah. There's a notebook here, and I pull it out, and I say, yeah. It kind of starts to get a little frantic. At parts, and then there's this drawing of a scary faced man at the end of the book.
As you pull it out, like, he goes glassy eyed, not in panic, just kind of like freezes on the spot. Glim and Sully is near the same look that Moot had for the 15 minutes that you were in Boot's place. And he begins to, what Moot didn't do, but he begins to speak or vocalize, and Moot, it's the same sounds that you began to hear. We cut outside Murloc's workshop, where it gently begins raining, And off in the distance, you can hear just the faintest and a large plume of smoke goes up near the jail.
Terry opened up the umbrella, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, Terry.
Oh, Terry. Just couldn't help himself.
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 103, starring Amy Moore as Sully, Carla Maxted as Glim, Tom Laird as Moot, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design is by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Kevin MacLeod and Epidemic Sound, and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiuk, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Devin Michaels, Craig Zeiss, Aaron Stevens, Darylith, Lulahan, and Charlie Warley. Support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where when you are a patron, you could name a character like Boots. Thanks to Nick Jones for that contribution. You'll also receive bonus episodes and a full exclusive podcast called The Adventures Of, run by Tom, with characters played by Amy, Carla, and I. We hope to see you over there. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragoncast and on Instagram and Twitter @dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Cut back to the front. You've not detonated.
Tripped?
Nope, not tripped.
Disengaged?
Avoided? Disengaged. Thank you.
No worries. I was like, I don't know where you're going with this.
Would you say I was working in the lab late one night?
It is getting late.
Okay.
Yep. And as you're doing that, everybody else is upstairs.
I punched the microphone. I was so excited to see that joke.
You add the last ingredient, which is?
Need some fun name here.
It's going to be good.
Smegma.
Nope. Nope. Oh.
But I mean, come on. It's a callback. Russ is always talking about the callback. That's not it. Did I do it wrong?
That would be a
Dungeons and Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hey, friends. The Sprouting is a podcast that I want to tell you about and you should go listen to. It's an eldritch horror of an actual play podcast set in an apocalyptic future where eldritch plants have taken over. Magical bargains twist the fate of reality, and each survivor struggles to trust their own senses as they try to see their goals through to their ends. The show uses the rules from Call of Cthulhu to heighten the drama of the story and leave the fate of the story at the whims of the dice, and they've created a completely homebrew world. A plant apocalypse where the senses can't be trusted, and instead the characters must learn to trust one another. The show is completely scored by beautiful music from their in-house editor, which heightens each dramatic moment throughout the show. I've got a little promo for you here, but go check out The Sprouting. I've listened to it, you need to listen to it, and you should start with the prequel episode when you go over there. Search for The Sprouting anywhere you listen to podcasts.
With your long-forgotten name, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
In the words of the unspeakable language, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
By the spilt blood of the wicked who walk upon this world sprouting the words of false idols, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
On the land of the dead harvest, that which brings the earth itself into your service, Yamel, we call upon you.
We call upon you. We call upon you. We call upon you.
Yamel calls upon you.
The Sprouting, a Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast by Blighthouse Studio. Find us on your podcatcher of choice.